Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome the Director of OC Waste and Recycling, Tom Kotroulis. Thank you, Tom, for being on Impact OC.
Well, thank you for allowing me to come out and talk trash with you. Not many people want to unless, it's been missed or they smell it. So I appreciate it.
The OCWR operates three landfills, Olinda Alpha in Brea, Frank R. Bowerman in Irvine, and Prima de Sheca in San Juan Capistrano. And starting this year, Californians will see a change to residential waste and recycling under Organics Recycling Senate Bill 1383. Tom, please explain this change.
Well, this change is fairly significant. And I'll just share with you, I spent my formative years in the waste and recycling industry growing up in a family business. And I can tell you that the legislative impact of this has changed quite tremendously. Before, it was very simple. All you had to do was make it disappear. And under SB 1383, we're required to do more with the waste that we're generating, specifically organics, and we have to find a beneficial reuse for it. And so that's ultimately the basic foundation of SB 1383, is to find a beneficial use for it, and things are changing.
So what is the purpose of the bill?
Well, the purpose of the bill, in the title, it's the short-lived climate reduction and edible food recovery. So that's the title of it. And so what you don't get from the title is that there are 9 compliance items as it relates to getting organic waste out of the landfills. And so ultimately, for residents, you'll see a change in your green waste and your organics containers at your home. So the requirements for residents will be for them to further separate their organics, meaning their food waste, not only the yard clippings and tree trimmings and things of that nature, but all their food scraps will need to be separated and then incorporated into their organics container to be diverted away from the landfill and to be either composted or put into anaerobic digestion for that diversion.
Why do you need to separate it from the landfills?
Great question. Well, if you think about the landfill, it's actually a finite resource, right? So the structure of the landfill is that you dig a hole in the ground and you fill it up. And once you fill it up, that's it. And so a part of that is to save on landfill space, right, airspace, and find a beneficial reuse for that organic fraction. But also, you had mentioned sort of the greenhouse gas or reduction to the short-lived climate pollutants. And so it's when you put organic matter into the landfill that it decomposes and creates landfill gas. At all of our three of our landfills that we have, we actually have landfill gas to energy projects where we take that landfill gas, create renewable energy, and put it out on the grid. It's a great use of landfill gas. However, again, it's a finite resource. And so with this legislation, it's helping sort of transition us to find a higher beneficial use for that organic fraction in the waste stream.
Are you saying by separating the organics, it creates the gas that you could use for these other projects, but you need to separate it out so you can do that?
Yes. And for that, and there's two things that I mentioned. One's composting, which is tried and true, very traditional. And there's also the opportunity for anaerobic digestion. And those programs are in development right now. There's a few companies that actually have done that already. As far as being able to take that food waste fraction, create something that it benefits the community, such as in composting, it becomes soil amendment. And when you take it and you put it in anaerobic digestion, you create what's called biogas. And then they can take that and either create electricity with it, put it back on the grid, and then that solid fraction that comes out of the anaerobic digestion can then be further composted as well and then put back into the community as soil amendment.
So the operative thing is to reduce what's in the landfill by having a separate place for this organic waste, thus allowing the landfill to last longer.
Yes, and to serve the residents as an essential public service even longer. And I'll say from our perspective at OC Waste Recycling, our goal is to try and provide local infrastructure. We're also working on composting facilities co-located at our landfills. We currently have two that are permitted right now, one in San Juan Capistrano, the other one in Irvine, and are currently working on a third in the city of Brea.
All right, let's talk organics. Let's talk about how it impacts you and me with our simple disposal of trash. So what is considered organics and where do we put it? And talk about the other kinds of trash and where we put that as well.
Yeah, well, under SB 1383, I'll say for the entire state, there is a requirement that there is a standardization of containers. And so from a residential standpoint, there are three separate containers that you'll have to separate your waste into. I believe gray is designated for trash.
Black or black
designated for
either
yes,
or.
Either
okay.
One, gray or black, green for your green waste or organics waste stream, and the third would be blue for your traditional single stream recycling. And I list those three colors because that was sort of what's called out. However, there may be a change a colored lid versus an entire container, but specifically for those residents in the jurisdictions or cities that they're in, they would really need to check with their hauler to determine what color container that they would have, right? It could be a gray one, it could be a black one for trash. It would be a green one for organics, and it could be a blue or a brown for recycling. But the goal of SB 1383 is to standardize that. And in the organics container, and also this depends on the program that each jurisdiction has, so I would encourage anyone who's interested in finding out, or at least who needs to find out, to contact their hauler to take a look at the programs that they may already have in place or are in the process of getting implemented.
Now, we know that it would be implemented if they get the green container.
Yes, if you have a green container, and traditionally green containers have been provided for, let's say, yard trimmings and the such, but now it's that shift, right? The movement of organic material, such as your food scraps, your vegetables, your meat products as well, your coffee grinds, things of that nature. Food-soiled paper as well, can go into that container as well. But it would be important for you to take a look at what's allowable, what's not. There may be limitations as it relates to certain proteins or fats, oils, and greases in those programs. And so, with that program for organics, so it'll be important for the individual to look into what is actually required.
Now, we know that with organics, there are some general things that absolutely can go in the organics. And you did mention that shrubs, leaves,
yes,
food waste. But can we go a little deeper with the food waste that absolutely could go in there, like chicken bones, chicken skin?
And then your, I guess, uneaten food, right? Any food spoilage could go in there. If you have, let's say, expired deli meats or things of that nature, should be able to go in there. If you have vegetables that have rotten or fruit that has, of course, that can all go in there. But it would be important to also verify that, I would say, that the chicken and the chicken bones, for the most part, should be able to go in there. However, there may be limitations with some of the programs as they started up as it relates to allowing sort of the high proteins and fats in that organic fraction.
Pizza boxes, where do they go?
Pizza, great question. I'll say if in the previous recycling industry, right, pizza boxes went to the landfill. If it's soiled paper, that actually qualifies under organic. And so that soiled pizza boxes could or should be able to go into that organic bin simply because it is a food soiled paper and identified as organic within the regulations. However, and the caveat to that is to call your hauler and make sure that at this point in time it's acceptable. Because in some cases, some programs can accept it and some programs might not be able to.
So let's talk about for a little bit, what do you put in the other bins? You talk about your regular trash and you talk about your recycling bins, because I think people still get it wrong. We know newspapers absolutely go in your recycling bins.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say something a little crazy right now, and I don't want it to be taken wrong or anything. Your dog poop and your cat poop don't go in the organics, right? That goes into the waste. Dirty diapers go into the waste bin. Right. When you talk about sort of the traditional recycling container, it's single stream recycling. You have plastic bottles, paper, and cans, aluminum cans. Also, I would say in the recycling industry, a lot of things have changed over the past few years as far as what's acceptable or not. There's actually new legislation out there, aside from SB 1383, it's SB 343 as far as truth in recycling that's required as well. That goes into effect in 2024. But in the single stream recycling, it's your traditional, again, paper, plastics, and metals that can go in there from a residential single stream. The film plastics, I would say you'd have to reach out to your hauler to see if that's actually acceptable at this point in time. And if not, that might need to go into the waste bin.
Because once upon a time, there used to be a number put on a plastic.
Yes, 1 through 7. Right. And so it used to be the 1 through 7 that was acceptable and recyclable. I think it's 1, I think it's 3 through 7 that have had troubles as it relates to finding homes for recycling. And so it would be, again, it would be beneficial for whoever the hauler is that's collecting and sorting through your residential waste stream. They might have an updated list to tell you that it's only plastics 1 and 2 are acceptable, and 3 through 7 might need to go to the trash because they might not have a home for it.
Now, certainly everybody's waste hauler will have has a website, and
yes,
they should be able to go onto the website to get answers to their questions regarding what they do with organics, even if it's not rolled out yet.
Yeah, and I would say to even try and help with that at the county, we actually have oclandfills.com, where people can actually log into oclandfills.com and ask, who's my hauler? And it will tell you, and it'll provide you a link to that information. We also have a webpage to help identify what's recyclable as well.
How do people sort it out?
Well, it's good old tried and true elbow grease, right? If you're... are you talking about the at home?
Yeah,
or?
When you're at home and you have your vegetables,
yeah,
how do you sort out? People complain to me, but I don't want to have all my organics in a barrel and then it's going to attract flies.
I'll say that's probably one of the best challenges that we have today as far as changing behaviors is figuring out what's going to work for your individual home. Because not all kitchens are equal, right? If you're talking about food scraps, being able to identify a location where you can place a food scrap container to collect it and then transport it to your organic bin, or even with your, your single stream recycling, right? Sort of those recycling containers. I believe for the most part, recycling, sort of separating out the single stream recycling and your traditional waste has been there. What the challenge that we're sort of faced with under SB 1383 is that organic fraction. And there are ways that that you can do that. I know that there have been little containers, plastic containers that can sort of fit underneath the sink where you can put your food scraps and then, you know, take that out to the organics container.
Empty it out. Don't put it in there.
Empty it out and reuse it. That's I probably need to say that. Make sure you reuse that container over and over again, because it's meant to just collect and transport that material, I would say, for convenience, right? In as much as changing a behavior can be convenient, this is one of the challenges we face under SB 1383, is the really the need for that change in behavior and the need for continued education and outreach.
What are the consequences for not following SB 1383?
I would say there consequences have yet to be seen, I would say, immediately. Right now, starting January 1 of 2022, for every jurisdiction, every city, every county is required to ensure that they're rolling out programs, okay? And during this time, it's about education and outreach and getting people to understand what needs to happen. And so there's a mad scramble. I'll say it's sort of like the awkward teenage years and growing up, right? And so there's a mad scramble to try and get that education and outreach out there prior to January 1 of 2024. Because under SB 1383, I'd mentioned there are nine elements of compliance, right? One of those elements is having an ordinance in place. Another one is enforcement of that ordinance. And in 2024, January of 2024, every jurisdiction is going to have to be able to demonstrate that they have a enforcement measure in place, meaning that those nines is the inspection, right? The lid flip. They're going to inspect the program. They're required to go out. The cities are required to have inspections and then report on it. And then for those that aren't in compliance, you sort of get a SB 1383 love letter saying, please, here's the program, please follow it. And so come January 1, 2024, once I would say the education outreach has run its course, now you talk about what can happen. You could potentially receive a fine for not participating, or contamination, cross-contamination, and not following the programs as it's outlined in your city.
But you were saying the cities have to ensure that people are in compliance.
Yes, and the cities and counties are all on the hook for making sure that this is happening, because in SB 1383, unlike, I'll say, well, AB 939, which is the recycling that started back in 1990, had some teeth to it, $10,000 per day, every day that you're out of compliance. We saw a great level of participation back then. Under SB 1383, there's a lot more teeth to this bill than AB 939, under those nine levels of compliance, where if a city is out of compliance, because of their program isn't implemented, the city could be fined. And so those fines, impact ultimately the residents, because who's paying for this, right? The city, ultimately the residents pay for this service. And so it's behooving upon the residents to participate, because if they don't, the city must enforce this. If not, the cities are then on the hook for noncompliance.
For residents, people who have the individual green waste barrel, they handle it. But if you live in an apartment and you have a community trash bin, what do you do?
Multifamily is a whole different dynamic. When you take a look at multifamily recycling, there are programs that are being developed, I'll say, as we speak, right? There are certain services that have been provided. I've heard about companies going in and providing these one-off service, valet services type, to sort of address the recycling component of it. When you introduce organics to it, right, we're not talking about simply single-stream typical recycling, papers, plastics, metals, glass, right? That kind of stuff. We're talking about the organic fraction. That's going to be a big challenge for multifamilies. And I've heard of concepts about things that might work, such as valet service and getting programs like that in place. However, that's the biggest challenge, or at least one of the biggest challenges under SB 1383, is getting multifamily organics programs rolled out.
Has it been rolled out for that?
I cannot point to any program at this point in time for like multifamily outside of a few small examples I've been given. But for the most part, organics and multifamilies, I still think it's a wait and see.
Is it going to be rolled out for businesses?
Businesses have been required to do this for a while. Under AB 341, which is mandatory recycling for businesses, and then there's AB 1826, that's mandatory organics recycling for businesses. That started back in 2014 and has been rolled out over time based on the size of those businesses, broken out in tiers: tier one, tier two, tier three, and tier four. And so organics recycling for businesses have actually been going on for quite some time. As far as the saturation level or level of participation, I believe there's still a lot of work that needs to be done as far as it relates to business participation for organics recycling.
I mean, I've been to fast food places and I've seen the three different color barrels so that when you're eating at an establishment, you're to separate it right out. But there's no one necessarily enforcing it. And is it true that if you have the wrong thing in the wrong barrel, you could contaminate everything in the barrel?
Yes, that is true. And I would say when you go to a fast food restaurant, I think that's another, similar to multifamily, that's going to be a challenge because you have no control over it. And anybody could place anything in there. And so there's a challenge when you take a look at sort of the fast food restaurants and the challenges that are going to be placed there as far as, especially with when it's open to the public to make that decision, right? And so outside of having somebody stand by that container and show people where to place things, that is going to be a challenge that somebody's going to come up with a very creative idea in order to address it. But right now, I don't know of any real successful program that's in place at this point for a fast food restaurant where it's sort of left up to the public to make that determination.
Where can people get more information?
Okay, great question. I would say you could always log into oclandfills.com and peruse our incredible website to find out plenty of information as it relates to, let's say, who your hauler is within your city, how to contact them, and I would recommend starting there. Or if you already know who your hauler is, pick up the phone and make a call.
Thank you, the director of OC Waste and Recycling, Tom Kotroulis, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
Hi, Mom.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.